Session number 11322, rule 4.
You were talking about the speed of the searcher.
Yes, the speed was 20-21 knots, so quite good with a single screw. And they did very good work during the war. We had American aircraft on board, Hellcats and torpedo bomber fighters as well, Avengers. And they were very efficient aircraft indeed.
What was the crew like there?
We had a mixture of T-124X personnel. Now, T-124X personnel were ex-Merchant Navy. In fact, they were still paid by the Merchant Navy. And they also had extra pay for danger money. Mostly, they were down in the engine room and boiler rooms of the ship. We also had certain greasers who used to come up on deck and do all the anchors and cable work and look after the capstans and things. They were supposed to be under the Naval Discipline Act. And of course we had our own seamen and also our own Fleet Air Arm lads who looked after the aircraft, and our own seamen manned the guns. I was in charge of the port battery, which consisted of 40mm Bofa guns, and we had the Mark 14 sights with these Bofa guns, which you could direct the guns onto an aircraft and they would open fire.
Did these Woolworth aircraft carriers seem to be thrown together at great speed?
The Woolworth carriers were all welded jobs, they were. In fact, it's the first all-welded ships I've ever served on. And of these carriers, you could see every rib. The ship's side was just like a wave, a ripple of steel. And each ripple happened where the ribs were. And that's the part of the ship's side that was sticking out, where the ribs were. All the others were like a ripple.
How seaworthy did it seem to be?
The very good sea-keeping ships they were. They could take a good hammering of the sea. But I would say if they were torpedoed, they'd be death traps. They'd go down very quickly.
What duties was the searcher doing whilst you were on her in 1943?
We had worked up in the Pacific, and we were bringing the ship back to the UK through the Panama Canal. And we came back into Liverpool. We arrived in Liverpool just after an ammunition ship had been in dry dock in one of the docks in Liverpool. I can't remember which one it was. And she was hit by a bomb, and she blew up. And it caused a lot of devastation in the dock area in Liverpool.
So you just did that one Atlantic voyage with her?
That's all I did with her, yes.
Did you meet the enemy at all?
No. We had teething troubles with the ship. In fact, we had to put into Norfolk, Virginia. The turbines weren't so good. They were giving us trouble. The steam turbines. However, we managed to get it back to this UK, to Liverpool.
You eventually went back to sea, and you said in February 44.
Yes, on HMS Rupert.
What kind of a ship was that?
That was a captain class frigate built in America.
A what class?
A captain class frigate built in America. And they were quite efficient. Once again, they were all welded. machinery was turbo-electric. We could go from stop to full speed ahead in a matter of minutes. We operated in groups. We were in the 21st Escort Group, operating off Western approaches and also off Ireland, west coast of Ireland, and we also took part in a Russian convoy with her. I was on her for the D-Day landings.
What duties was the 21st Escort Group supposed to be carrying out in the Western approaches?
Anti-submarine patrols.
Did you have any successes against submarines?
We did, yes. We claimed one U-boat. I can't remember the date now, but I've got the date written down somewhere.
Do you remember what happened on that occasion when you claimed the U-boat?
Yes, we attacked with Hedgehog. They were bombs which we fired over the bows of the ship. We would operate in pairs, and one ship would hold the target with the Aztec, whilst the other ship made the attack. And these bombs were jettisoned over the bows of the ship, fired ahead of you, and if they made contact, the vibration of one making contact would set the other ones off and explode.
What had made you think that you'd got a submarine? Was there any oil or...?
We had oil and debris, and also we had bodies as well.
So it seemed a pretty safe claim.
Yes. In fact, the Admiralty were very particular in who they would give the claims to. So there was only one probable, and that, and we'd attacked other submarines before, mind you, but that was the only real claim we got, and we were rewarded with that claim.
How difficult were the submarines to detect in the Western approaches?
They weren't difficult at all to detect, really. We used to do easy sugar runs over them. Echo Sander used to do a trace at the bottom of the ocean, and if there was anything there just off the ocean bed, if they would give you the trace of the U-boat.
Easy sugar stands for Echo Sander.
Echo Sander.
That's surprising, because one would have thought that it would be like looking for a needle in a haystack.
Not really. The Aztecs were quite good. Operators for the Aztecs were specially trained for it, and as you know, Aztecs would give you a ping and send out an echo, and if the echo hit something, it would rebound back and give you a sharper reply. I can't describe it any more than that, but quite a lot of our operators were very good indeed with the Aztecs, and we found it more beneficial when you operated in pairs, the ships. One ship could hold that echo all the time whilst you did the attack.
Two frigates?
Yes.
Did you know the name of Captain Walker?
Yes. Yeah, they were operating from Liverpool, Captain Walker's group, at the time.
And you were operating from?
We were operating from Londonderry and Belfast.
Did you go ashore much in Londonderry and Belfast?
I used to go across the border and get eggs and butter and bacon, dressed in Matlow's uniform in Pio's rig, but I used to take my cap off and just go over the board and buy the eggs and things and come back on board. It was all unofficial, mind you.
Did the Russian convoy you mentioned you ran with the Rupert occur before or after D-Day?
Before D-Day.
How did it compare with the earlier Russian convoys?
Very quiet. Very quiet. Although we had a new idea out where they were firing in a fixed barrage system, and the barrage used to be in a square. So any aircraft entering that area would be liable to get hit with shrapnel or pieces. And we found it was quite successful covering the convoy that way.
What role did Rupert play in D-Day? What was it supposed to do?
In D-Day, we escorted quite a lot of the American troop ships to the American beaches and also to the British beaches. We were there right from the beginning go, from Piccadilly Circus, the Isle of Wight, raising anchor and going in the first lot in D-Day. We were off Aramensis for D-Day, off the coast, going up and down, looking out for E-boats, which had an awful use of trying to attack you and attack the convoy of ships coming in. So we had a special pom-pom, a two-pounder gun, placed right in the eyes of the ship, the bow of the ship. So we found U-boats were trying to get in, E-boats were trying to get in round the curve of the bow, so you couldn't fire down at them. But we got over that by putting a gun right in the bow of the ship and firing down at them.
How many of these E-boats did you deal with?
Well, I can't say precisely, but they were nearly all night action. We were in action quite a lot during the night, each night.
Do you think you sank any?
No idea whatsoever.
Did they damage you?
No, we weren't damaged.
What impression did the fleet make that was going into the Normandy beaches?
Well, it was a very impressive sight. You had ships with barrage balloons flying overhead so that no dive bombers or low-flying aircraft could get into the convoy or get anywhere near them. I think we only had one casualty. And that was when they were landing ashore, they went into a lot of spikes on the beach. They were covered in high water. And one of these landing craft just went up on these and capsized. I think that was the only casualty we ever had.
So it didn't blow up?
No, it didn't blow up. I also remember a German shore battery which was placed up in the cliffs at just off Aramensis, and a British destroyer going in into the cove, letting fly with their 4.7s at this target and then nipping straight back out again. I remember that vividly. And it was just like a greyhound going back and forth, letting fly at this German shore battery which was buried in the cliffs itself. They must have had tunnels going down to it.
What other duties did Rupert perform at the end of the war?
At the end of the war, we escorted the King and Queen to the Isle of Man, to Douglas. I can't remember what date it was or anything, but I know we did escort them to the Isle of Man. And then, of course, we returned to the United States after that.
Did you celebrate V-Day in America?
No, we celebrated V-Day in Portsmouth.
What happened on V-Day? Can you remember what happened in Portsmouth on V-Day?
I let fly with all our pyrotechnics, all our rockets and everything that we had on board. We got rid of them.
What were the scenes in the streets in Portsmouth?
I wasn't ashore for it.
I think that's after the war that you took part in the Suez crisis of 56.
Yes.
Can you tell me what you remember of that, please?
Well, we didn't see very much of the Suez crisis as we were doing the patrol of the Gulf of Aqaba.
What ship were you on then?
I was on the Opossum.
What was that?
It was a frigate of the Black Swan class, and the same class as the Amethyst, which was involved in the Yangtze incident. Same class of ship.
So you were looking out for the Egyptian Navy in the Gulf of
Aqaba? We were, yes.
Did they appear?
No.
How did the Opossum compare with the Second World War ships?
Oh, well, she was built during the Second World War, the Opossum. She was quite seaworthy. She was an all-riveted ship. And she had three twin 4-inch guns and two multiples of two forward and one aft. And We were bristling with close-range armament. They were modernized Black Swan type of ship, the same as Captain Walker's group.